Rockwell Bibles builds heirloom custom quality Bibles using the finest premium cowhide and goatskin leathers that you won't find in any mass-produced Bible. Each one is handcrafted, and you can customize nearly every detail from the leather type and the stamping to page edges and liners. As a family-owned Christian business in the Ozarks, Adam, coming from a background in mechanical engineering, brings precision and top-tier build quality to every Bible. Whether you want to build a new Bible or extend the life of the one you already use, this is the place to go. Follow Rockwell Bibles on X, Instagram, or on Facebook to see examples of their work. And visit rockwallbibles.com to place a deposit for your custom Bible today. They also drop ready-made Bibles every Friday, but typically sell out quickly, so don't wait. Visit rockwallbibles.com. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back. Hope you guys are doing well. I'm recording in the morning again. Pretty excited to get back to doing some recordings in the morning. I'd been waiting till a little bit later in the afternoon, and Andy and I, of course, have been recording at the church building, but I had something I wanted to talk about this morning, so I thought I'd jump on here and give you some updates, give you updates on the intensive, and then I want to talk to you about the fifth commandment today. This is a little bit of repeat material, but it is personal to me because I'm getting to visit my dad today, and I get to see him for the first time in almost 2 years. So I'm just thinking about honoring my dad, and so I'm going to tell you a little bit about that, but we'll go through the Baptist Catechism, a few questions, and talk about the implications of the fifth commandment, and hopefully I want to give you some tips and talk about how to honor parents even when it's hard. And that's the command, is to preserve honor, and that's what we want to do. And so let me go ahead and pray, and then we'll do an intensive update, and then we'll get into that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. Ask for blessing. Thank you for just a great intensive, and for the speakers. Thank you for Dr. Jim Warwick, and for Bill Smith, and my buddy Sam, and the good encouragement that they gave us. And thank you for protection on the river, and for all the guys that came. It was such an encouraging time, and it's always good to just catch up with guys that just see once a year. And it's also cool to see those young guys growing up and seeing them do good on the river. And Lord, it was a great time. So thank you. Now, as for blessing, as we talk about honoring parents and those in other stations in our life that we have to pay honor to and give honor to, and just help me now. I trust you will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So the intensive went really well this year. We had a good group of guys. We ended up having 36 guys, fathers and sons were there, and we went to Eminence, Missouri, just had a beautiful float on the river the first day. It was a 21-mile float, and Bill Smith was joking with me. He's like, man, you got to not call this a float. I mean, this is hard work. The river was a little bit down this year, so we went down the river, and it took about 7 or 8 hours to make that 21 miles, and we were all sore at the end of the day. We were ready to get back to camp, but it's called an intensive, right? I mean, so that it's supposed to be a little bit hard. And we get back, and Dr. Jim Warwick was talking to us about the Baptist Catechism, and it was really fun to see him and Bill Smith. They found out that they went to the same seminary, and at Midcontinent Baptist Theological Seminary, or Mid-America, I think is what it was. Well, anyways, they had some great conversations. I kind of wanted to be, Andy and I were joking, we would like to be a fly on the wall, or a fly in the canoe, and hear their conversation the whole time. But they seemed to just really hit it off. And Bill talked to us about the Proverbs on work and the sloth, and was so helpful. And then my friend Sam Kaiser talked to us about the fight of faith. And Sam, I hadn't seen in 19 years. We got together in college and had a great time going to Ireland with a church. And we were interns together at the same church. And we ended up just having a blast. He rode with Ransom and Valor and I. This is Valor's first year going this year. And we just had such a good time catching up. I mean, it's good to hang out with a brother. He's in California and flew out here to be a part of this. And just catching up and realizing that, man, God's still doing a work in this guy's life, and me as well. And there's good things happening, and he's loving the Lord and loving his family. And man, it's a sweet thing to know old friends. And it was wonderful. So we had a good time on the river, ate some good food. Andy and Tyler did a great job cooking the food, and would love to have you next year. I don't know yet who's going to be speaking, but I've got a couple requests out to some guys that I think you'd really enjoy hearing from. So be on the lookout. I'll be announcing here in the next couple months what next year is going to look like. And it was a good time. Okay, let's turn the corner a little bit. I want to talk about questions 68 to 71 in the Baptist Catechism. We're talking about the fifth commandment. And I mentioned it in just the opening, getting to see my dad today and the first time in a couple years. And recently I had an uncle that passed away that was a good man. And I watched his son give him honor in a way that was beautiful. And I'm going to tell you about that here in a minute. But I want to go ahead and read the fifth commandment. And this is question 668. What is the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment is honor thy father and mother, that the days may be long in the land, the Lord God that giveth thee. Question 69. What is required in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment requireth the preserving of honor and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. Question 70. What's forbidden in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment forbiddeth the neglect of or doing anything against the honor and duty which belongeth to everyone in their several places and relations. And then question 71, what is the reason annexed in the fifth commandment? The reason annexed in the fifth commandment is to the promise of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve for the glory of God and for their good to all such as keep this commandment. Okay, this is the fifth commandment and what God requires. Now, I want to talk through four or five things here from the catechism and break it down, and hopefully just give you a little bit of tips on how to do this. And I'm still learning myself. I mean, this is anything that I've mastered, but I have had some challenges over the years to overcome when I consider my lineage. And my mother and father had a great experience growing up, but there's been challenges that you don't really need to know about. I've shared a little bit over the years, but preserving honor is what I want to talk about. Preserving honor. Preserving the honor and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations, superiors and inferiors or equals. When it comes to good parents, when it comes to those that are in positions of honor as superiors, who are good and godly men, that is an easier command. It seems like an easier application because there's such great joy in honoring good parents, good kings, good leaders, and such difficulty when it's the reverse. When there's bad kings, bad leaders, or bad parents, it is a difficult command to know how to do that. What if those that are superiors, your parents, what if they are not honorable? How do I honor them and them not see it as honor? And still know before God, my conscience is clean and clear that I'm obeying the command and honoring and preserving their honor in a way that gives God glory. So those can be difficult questions. Let me give you first a positive example. I was preaching my funeral, not my funeral. I was preaching the funeral of my Uncle Eric. And my Uncle Eric, growing up, he was always around. He was always consistent. And he loved the Lord. He was a deacon for 42 years. He was a good man. We get to this funeral, and it was one of those things that you wish you could come back to years ago and realize how great of a man he was. Wish you could kind of rewind the clock. Because in that room, I heard testimony after testimony, not just in that room, but on Facebook, when it was announced that he had passed away, there were so many people that had testimony. It's just one after another, after another, after another about this man's impact on their life. And I looked around that room. It was jam-packed. It was full, wall-to-wall, standing room only, and they turned away 150 people, they said. It was unbelievable how many people were in that room. And my cousin Micah, his son, so Eric has two children and then the grandbabies. And it was precious. My cousin Micah was a Navy SEAL for 9 years. I guess he is a Navy SEAL because once a SEAL, always a SEAL. He was in the SEAL teams for 9 years and he was a trainer the last few years in Coronado. And he is just an unsuspecting, I mean, you look at him and you realize, oh man, he's jacked and he looks like a bad dude. But when you find out that he was a SEAL, it's like instant respect. I mean, that's how it is with any SEAL. And he's just a good man, loves the Lord, loves his family. And he gets up and starts talking about his dad. And he looks around the room and he says, the man that you think he is, that's exactly who he was. And, you know, the room's wall to wall. And these people are there because this man had made an impact on their life, and God had used Eric in their life. And he was just so faithful for decades. And a deacon for 42 years. I mean, married for 41. Became a deacon right before he got married. And this testimony from his son was so powerful. And then he said these words. He said, "If I could be half the man that my father is, I will have lived a successful life." Now, this is a Navy SEAL, a man that's crushing it in life, and this is what he says about his dad. And this is the ideal picture, isn't it? This is the father we want to be. We don't want our children to have to try to find out all the positive ways to learn from the negative and the difficulty of trying to honor and preserve the honor of a man that was bad. That's not what we want to be, the kind of man that was like Eric, the kind of man that was a man of honor. And it seems so easy to honor parents like that. Or what about other stations in life that we have these obligations as superiors and inferiors? It's in all of life that we recognize this. It's in, we see it in the church, the world, the home, the state. So the home, church, state, you have order and authority, you have hierarchy. And in that hierarchy, you have to preserve honor and you have to respect. And the question comes up, what about bad leaders? What about bad parents? And I've said this before, so this might be repeat if you've been listening for a long time, but when it comes to honoring bad parents, the first thing you have to recognize is that they are not the standard. God is. And when we fight to preserve the honor of parents that don't receive it as honor, we have to ask the question, what's the best way for me to do that? Because I can't make them happy. They're angry, they're disappointed, or they don't see this as honor, or they're ashamed of me, or whatever it may be. If you are being the best Christian man you can be, if you're a lady listening out there, if you're being the best Christian woman you can be, if you're being a man of honor, a woman of honor, you are honoring your parents. This is the best way we can honor our parents, is by God's grace have a change in the lineage to where your children are looking back to you and they're saying something like my cousin said about his dad, "If I could be half the man he is, I will have lived a successful life." That is honoring your parents, whether they recognize it as honor or not. I think it's also easy to say about bad parents, "Oh, I don't want to be like my dad," or "I don't want to be like my mother," for the ladies. And yet, if you'll look, there is some measure of God's common grace that was given to them. There's something there in your childhood that you can look back and say, "Okay, I want to repeat that." Unless they were totally absent, totally gone, or they passed away, you can find some aspect of character. Okay, there's something here that I want to repeat. And then you also positively learn from the negative. How can you honor a parent who wasn't there, who left you, who abandoned you? Okay? Positively learn from the negative. One way is to say, "I will never do that. By the grace of God, I will not. I'm going to stay. I'm going to love my children. I'm going to raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I am not going to make the mistakes and the sins of my parents. By God's grace, with the help of the Holy Spirit, those bad behaviors in the lineage of my family will be done away with. They'll be changed. It'll be over with me. And therefore, you honor your father who was absent or who left or was there sometimes and not there other times. You honor him by not repeating those mistakes. You don't have to trash his name or, you know, drag his name through the mud or sit on a couch or tell all your buddies how bad you had it or your parents or this or that, whatever. Preserve their honor. You know, my parents, I love my folks, and I'm really looking forward to hugging my dad today. There are so many things that I want to repeat about my father's life. Of course, there's some things I don't want to repeat, but there are so many things that I want to repeat. And in many ways, I have been blessed by the parents that I have. And so I want to honor them. I want to preserve their honor. Another aspect of preserving honor is preserving history, is understanding history rightly. You know, this isn't in the catechism, but I think it's there in the words preserving the honor. In the Old Testament, what you'll recognize over and over again is that the people of God forgot the acts of God, the mighty acts of God, the works of God, the redemption of God. And they would turn to the future, they would turn to the people to the left and the right, and they would adopt new practices. And they would forget an accurate view of history, which was God delivering, God saving, God showing his power, God punishing the wicked. And they would forget. They didn't have a clear view of history. One of the things I've been really enjoying the last few years, I've been just diving into history for, I don't know, 3 years now. And the stack of books that I've worked through have been, it's at this point, very large. And it's been a lot of fun just recovering what seems to be a clear, a, at least a clearer view of history. And part of that conversation I had with Steve Wilkins a couple weeks ago that was released is contained in what I've been just reading and learning about. And what you'll recognize is that history has been hijacked. The victors, if they were not the righteous cause in history, are also the liars. And they write the history books. And so it requires work to have an accurate view of history. In the same way, it requires work to have an accurate view of lineage to both the positive and the negative. And I think it's required. If we're going to preserve honor, then we have to know a real view of what our forefathers did, what our parents did, what my grandpa did, what my great-grandpa did. Today, I get to pick up a grandfather clock that was my grandparents'. So I'm inheriting this. It was, I'm getting it and going to put it in my office. And this grandfather clock meant something to my grandpa and my grandma. It was expensive. They had to save for it. They didn't have a ton of money. My grandpa was a business owner. He was a plumber and had four daughters. And he and his wife, my grandmother, wanted to get this grandfather clock, and she cherished it. And I remember going over there and looking at that grandfather clock and seeing it, and every 15 minutes that bell would ring. And we're not going to do the bell because we're not going to do the chime because it goes every 15 minutes, and you hear it every 15 minutes. But I want that thing. And because I want to do something to preserve the honor of my grandparents, to be able to say, hey, listen, this is something that they valued. This is something that they appreciated. And now I'm going to value it. I'm going to appreciate it. And I'm going to remember that my grandfather, he fought in World War II. My grandparents were on both sides older. And so my grandfathers both fought in World War II. And my grandmother actually was a Marine. She worked on the line doing whatever ladies did back then in the war. And so I've got a lineage that does have some really good aspects to think about, to reflect on, and to say, hey, listen, they deserve some sort of honor. And this grandfather clock is going to represent that. And I have other things of theirs, of course, but an accurate view of history is required in the fifth commandment. And so if you're like, I don't like history, I don't care. Okay, how are you going to preserve the honor of your parents and grandparents? You know, we don't want to get caught up in controversies about lineages. I mean, we're warned about that in genealogies in the New Testament of getting so caught up in those sorts of things. And yet, here we are trying to think through the fifth commandment. And if you'll look back, there are some things in your lineage that you can repeat, even if you have some dark things back there. This is preserving honor. It's required. And this is what the church of old failed to do, is they didn't have an accurate view. And that's what's required. Okay, when we think about inferiors and superiors, okay, home, church, and state, I mean, sphere sovereignty is a good way to think about this, but you also think about your work as well. If you're not a business owner, if you're working for somebody, if you're an inferior, and we all are to one degree or another, we are superiors in our home as heads of household. We are at church largely inferiors. The elders have superior authority there, and yet the elders are also inferior in some ways to the congregation and their other elders. I mean, there's authority here, structures where at some point, a man is an inferior to somebody and he's a superior to somebody. This is how life works. There is a hierarchy of authority. And when you're in that situation where you're an inferior, you owe those who are in authority over you respect and honor across the board. Respect and honor. You got a bad boss? Okay, you still owe him respect and honor. How do you do that? Well, there's some challenges there. Be the best worker you can be. In the same way that you can honor your father by being the best Christian man you can be, you can honor that bad boss by being the best Christian worker you can be. Do your job with honor. Look to the Lord. Live for His glory. Do your work over and abundantly and make that boss change his opinion of you. Make that his superior recognize your work. And as you're doing your work, in time, you will reap reward. I mean, God is faithful in that. So in the home, church, and state, brothers at a church, the elders have soul care authority. And so in the areas of soul care, when you have questions, go to them. And if it's something that, when it comes to like discipline or when it comes to some sort of counsel, well, listen and obey your leaders. Now, they have limited authority, just like everybody does, but there's honor where honor is due. Elders, like myself, when you consider the congregation is given the authority to regulate the word of God, excuse me, not regulate the word of God, to regulate the word, the preaching. They can accumulate teachers for themselves that itch their ears. When you recognize that you have responsibility to stand in that pulpit and be faithful, God held the church in Galatia responsible, not the elders, the church responsible for the false teaching. And when I step into that pulpit, I've got to give account to God for faithful preaching, but also to this church. This church is holding me accountable. In some ways, I am inferior to the superior authority of that congregation who could hire me or fire me. And if I'm unfaithful to God's word, then they can come to me and they need to say, hey, Jared, you have been unfaithful in this. So there is an inferior-superior relationship. In my state, I've got bad leaders. Okay, I still owe them some sort of honor. It doesn't mean that I have to like them, but in some way, I've got to honor them. And recognizing the government of Illinois and the government of the United States as well, I have to understand that I have governing responsibilities. And in some ways, our elected and appointed officials are inferior to us, the people. And so all those things you have to think about and you have to consider. How does this fifth commandment apply? How do I obey these things? The third thing I want to talk about is what is forbidden. Forbidden in the fifth commandment is the neglect of doing anything against the honor and duty which belongs to everyone in their several places and relations. Be a man of principle. Be a man that cares about virtue. And if you care about virtue and the morality of others, if it bothers you so bad what J.B. Pritzker does and it gets under your skin so bad, well, okay, don't live like him. Don't be like him. You do what you have to do. Don't neglect your duties. Do not neglect your responsibilities. What are your responsibilities in the fifth commandment? If you don't like what Pritzker's doing, okay, honor your parents. Don't neglect your responsibility. Wherever you have a superior, honor them. And hopefully we have godly men in those positions, and instead of evil men or women, but still, we have to recognize that I cannot neglect my responsibility. Neglecting these is forbidden. And then what we see is promises attached. And the confession recognizes personal promises, but I want to also add in there corporate promises. It says, the reason annexed in the fifth commandment is promise of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve, this is the caveat, as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good to all who keep such commandment. The promise of long life and prosperity. Do you want to live the best life you can possibly live for your children, for your grandchildren, and be the kind of good man that leaves an inheritance to his children's children? Then as far as it serves the glory of God and as far as it serves their own good, your own good, obey. Do what God requires. Do not neglect it. And you'll live the best life you can possibly live. It doesn't mean there's not going to be some hiccups along the way. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have sovereignty or sovereign suffering in his providence for us. But there are promises attached to this obedience. It's the first command with a promise. When we talk about children learning this lesson, Bill was talking about work, and there was a young Bill in the intensive, and there was a young boy that asked the question, how does this work thing and sloth thing apply to me? I'm 13 years old. And he said, here's how it applies to you, young man. You honor and obey your parents. That's the work that you have assigned to you by God. And as they tell you to do work, as they give you chores, as they invite you in to do the work that your dad is doing, then you do that to the best of your ability, and then you're going to be honoring your father and mother. You're going to be doing the work. You're not going to be the sloth. You're going to be doing the work that God requires. This is good for us. Do not neglect these things. There's promises. Now, the corporate side. When you live in a society as a whole that neglects the fifth commandment because this was given to the people of God as a whole with individual promises attached to it, but also corporate implications as well. What happens when a people forget, when they do not preserve honor, when they forget the history, when they dishonor those who have gone before them? What happens to a nation that does that? What happens to a people that does that? Well, as my friend Joshua Jenkins said years ago, it's like burned in my memory, you won't live long in the land. You want to lose a nation? Dishonor your parents. You want to lose a nation? Forget an accurate view of history. And what we're seeing right now, what we're living through, is the downfall of the United States of America. And one of the reasons, one of the primary reasons, is the neglect of the fifth commandment. If we can't relearn, if we can't repent of dishonoring, and if we can't repent of neglecting our duties to honor the heritage of this nation, if we can't honor the fathers who have gone before us, honor the mothers that have gone before us, we will lose the land. It is a principle woven in to everywhere in this world. And you see it everywhere. And so we have been blessed with more positive than negative as a people, as we look back on our history in the United States of America, we have far more positive than negative. There is such a rich history there to say, okay, I want to repeat that. I want to repeat that. I want to repeat that. And so many small things to say, okay, we could have done that better, or we need to do that better. And yet we have this heritage. And what do we see now? We see a neglect of the duty as a whole. Therefore, how can we expect to live long in the land if we will not do what God requires? Now, of course, this is all for men who understand justification. I'm not talking to you about a works-based anything. Come on, get past that. We're talking about loving the law of God. This is what God requires. And this is what God's men do. This is what God's women do. We want to say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak. And when you speak, we will obey. And this is what we have here in the fifth commandment. Okay, guys, I hope this was helpful. Please consider leaving a rating, a review if you've not done that. I would really appreciate it. You can also subscribe on YouTube if you've not subscribed over there. I've been posting these. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.